The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of 104.1 KQTH or the E.W. Scripps Company.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
We are live at Casino del Sol Resort. This is the most delicious hour on radio. Unfortunately, I am not Matt Russell. I am Zach Clark, and it's great to be here with you this afternoon. We are inside of Kitchen Stadium. Iron Chef Tucson 2018 is upon us. Looking forward to tonight. Defending champion Chef Travis Peters against Chef Brian Smith. Travis Peters out of the Parish, and of course Brian Smith out of Maynard's. Going to be a great showdown tonight. Secret Ingredient, they'll have 1 hour along with their assembled teams to throw a variety of dishes together. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time out here with the Iron Chef, and it's just always so much fun. And before we go any further, there's so many people we need to thank. Alfonso's Gourmet, Olive Oil and Balsamics, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner and Co. And there's just, I mean, look, I was walking around here earlier today, you know, because the culinary experience has been going on since about noon. I was wandering around, and, you know, Tucson is such an underrated gastronomic area, right? And that's true in the food scene. It's true in the beverage scene. It's true in the service scene, right? I mean, people think, oh, you go to Tucson, you get Mexican food, right? And there is no question. There is no question that the best Mexican food outside of Mexico itself is right here in Tucson, Arizona. But if you limit yourself to thinking about Mexican food only when you're in the Old Pueblo, you are going to miss out on some extraordinary dishes, some amazing restaurants, some wonderful chefs, right? I mean, don't get it twisted, right? The Mexican food is amazing. It's amazing. You're not going to find a higher concentration of more quality Mexican restaurants anywhere else outside of Mexico in the world. So many amazing styles, so many presentations, right? This is why we celebrate. This is why you have a culinary experience like you do today. This is why you have an Iron Chef competition today, because here in Southern Arizona, we have so much to celebrate when it comes to food and beverage, right? We would be crazy if we didn't do things like this. I mean, I was walking earlier, right, and Pivot Produce had summer peaches, and there was Forbes Meat Company, they had some sausages with house-made pretzels and smoked peach poppy seed mustard served with meats and cheeses. I mean, there was a cookie dough bar, right? I mean, and again, as you walk around, as you experience Tucson from a food standpoint, from a beverage standpoint, from an enjoyment standpoint, right, it doesn't get any better than where we are right here. And you know what it is about Tucson that I love so much when it comes to the food and the beverage? A big chunk of it is the range. Mexican food, yes, right? But it's not just that there's Mexican food and Italian food and Mediterranean food and Italian food, whatever. But the range of styles and deliveries, right? Sometimes you want to go to dinner in a shirt and a tie and a jacket, right? I totally get that. But sometimes when you're walking out of the bar, you want to get food out of a food truck. And that doesn't mean that either experience shouldn't be any less satisfying than the other one. And that's what makes Tucson so amazing, right? The food you get out of a food truck, amazing, right? The food you get at some of the high-end restaurants downtown or on the north side or whatever, right? Another amazing experience. And that is what makes this so much fun. That is why we celebrate Tucson gastronomy, no question. And, right, like the booze. How can we forget about the booze? We talked about how diverse the food selections are and how thoughtful they are and how deliberate they are. But the locally brewed beer and the locally distilled spirits, right? I mean, those are beverages that when you consume a spirit distilled here in Southern Arizona, when you crack open a beer that was brewed here in Southern Arizona, it was brewed with the water. The beer came from the ground, right? That's what's so amazing. That's what you can't get beer like that anywhere else. Certainly you can get styles of IPA, or you can get, You can get a whiskey somewhere else, but you can't get a whiskey that was made in Southern Arizona anywhere else. And it adds to the taste, it adds to the character, it adds to the flavor, it adds to the fun. And it ranges. Again, the range. Big operations, small operations, risk takers, torch bearers. You'll always find a beer. You'll always find a beer in Tucson that you'll love. No matter where you go. No matter if it's a tap house, a brewery, a brew pub, gastro pub, whatever you want to call it. I mean, shoot, you can go to a hockey game and get a quality craft beer brewed right here in Tucson, Arizona. And I don't forget about the, and I mentioned the distillers, right? I mentioned the mixologists. There's a theme here that you find throughout Tucson food. And to me, that theme is folks wanting to innovate while still giving that nod to classic styles, right? There's no such thing in Tucson, Arizona as an ordinary cocktail. There's no ordinary restaurant. There's no ordinary beer. And that's what makes every experience, no matter what you're seeking in the evening or at lunchtime or at brunch time or at breakfast time, no matter what you seek, whether it's food, beverage, or otherwise, you're never going to be disappointed. There's no such thing as an ordinary cocktail here in Tucson, Arizona. Not around here, at least. It's always an adventure. And when you wrap all of this together, right, like, what is this worth? The best part of any of this, all of this, is attention to detail, the determination to be as local as possible. The beer you drink, it's made with Tucson water. The pasta you eat was boiled in it, too. It's not just about ingredients. It's about local feel. It's about the person making your food. You are simpatico with them. You understand each other. You're from the same places, right? They're trying to please you, and you're showing up waiting for that. So, I mean, there are a million reasons why we sit here today at the Culinary Experience here at Casino del Sol and just appreciate what we have in Tucson, Arizona. Before we move on, I want to thank Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry Cigars. Nancy Russell is our certified public trainer. With all the eating we do around here, we have to have a public trainer, a personal trainer, I should say. It is our dear Nancy Russell again. Matt Russell out on Delicious Assignment. I am here live at Casino del Sol. I am inside of Kitchen Stadium, Iron Chef 2018, less than an hour away. Let's wet our palates. Let's talk about booze. We're going to bring in Danny Peterson from Hensley coming up next right here on The Menu Live.
The culinary excellence of Chef Victor Padilla continues to make news on Tucson's dinner scene, but it's his brand new brunch menu that's all the buzz these days at his Hot Foothills Eatery, Commoner & Co. Victor's passion for food anchors each of his Sunday morning and midday meals, from the shrimp and creamy grits with mussels and calabrese salami to the Commoner waffle with fresh berries, smoked honey, and bourbon butter. Yeah, I said it, bourbon butter! Or check out Victor's take on a Southwest classic, the pork carnitas chilaquiles, dotted with avocado, red radish, and a sunny egg, then lovingly drizzled with a house-made guajillo sauce. Throw in a couple rounds of Commoner Bloody Marys or mimosas, and you have all the makings for the perfect weekend wrap-up. Brunch is served every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And don't forget to come back on Monday night for half-off bottles of wine. Brunch is the bomb this season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
It is On the Menu Live. Unfortunately, I am not Matt Russell. I am Zach Clark, and we're sitting down with Danny Peterson. Now, we're live at Casino del Sol Resort. We're inside of Kitchen Stadium, Iron Chef Tucson, less than an hour away, and just a wonderful event earlier today. Danny was out pouring. I want to thank Russell Public Communications, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, Ambiance Pool Service. We could not do this without them. Danny, what's happening, man?
Not much, man. Just hanging out, pouring beer, talking to some people about some adult beverages.
Well, wait, before that, though, you and I were talking, and you're a big world football soccer fan.
Huge.
And so, like, what has today been like for you? Because one of the things right now, if you want to enjoy soccer, you got to pay for it. And by pay for it, I mean you got to get up at, like, 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, right? No, that's pretty standard. I'm a huge fan of the European League. So woke up at 4, caught the game at 5. Came out here to Casino del Sol, did the Mexico game.
Which was awesome.
Bought some rounds for some really nice people. And
there you go.
And then hung out and poured some beer for some more nice people.
Yeah, I mean, you've been out here for 5 or 6 hours pouring beer. And Stella Artois, Danny, is the fastest growing European import in the United States. What is it about the brand that continues to be so relevant? And I ask that question because you see an influx of strong American craft beers popping up locally everywhere, but yet Stella Artois seems to always find a place.
Yeah, so the biggest things with Stella are their history and their sophistication. They have 600 years of brewing heritage. I mean, they're really just the epitome of quality.
600 years.
600 years. So, well, 1366, Den Horn Brewery was found.
Okay.
And in 1715, one of their brewers, his name was Sebastian Artois, bought the brewery.
Okay. And wait, is that the commercial that I've seen where they're like, he gambles all of his stuff and buys the...
Did they have it during soccer games?
Yeah.
Then probably, yeah. Because those are the only ones I've watched.
Yeah, that's right.
But the Den Horn brewery,
yeah,
they kind of set the stage for what Stella would become.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took it, so Sebastian Artois took it and made it a Christmas beer that they'd only hand out at Christmas,
yeah,
hence the star, hence the Stella,
right,
and had his name on everything. Took off, and then... yeah, it's year round now. But you know, despite their history and despite the evolution of,
yeah,
it, you know, they have to keep up with the sophistication. So they have to keep changing and growing, and they've done that in the current market really, really well.
Well, yeah, and you talk about changing, you talk about the sophistication. Tell me about the high end.
So the high end is a division of Anheuser-Busch that really encompasses the craft and their import brands,
mm-hmm,
with the goal specifically to make beer the most sophisticated beverage in the,
okay,
world. They have Anheuser-Busch has a huge track record of innovation in the industry, and they work to drive the industry all year, every year. Lots of investments in things like brewing sciences, and that provides the tools for Anheuser-Busch to stay current and relevant, and, you know, the front runners, really.
You know, it's amazing. I know that Stella Artois is a European brand, but Anheuser is an American brand. But it's two really old-school breweries getting together and continuing to innovate and push things forward. And I think that a lot of times when we talk about craft beer, that's not where I'm going to go. Not that I'm saying it's not good, but when I think about that, you don't think about the big guys being the innovators, and that's just not true.
It's not. And you know, they've come out with all kinds of new breweries and new beers and new products, mm, that have really just pushed the industry and pushed the envelope for what they're trying to do in the macro as well as the micro.
Right, and you see them compete on a number of different levels. What is it about beers made from Belgium? There's a certain lightness. There's a certain crispness. What is it? Why is it that that's able to pair so well with certain foods?
So with brewing, it's all about the reactions and the fermentations and,
right,
the byproducts of those. So during the brewing process, the browning of the sugars happens during the cooking, and especially with beer, with the malting of grain, the reaction brings out the flavors like roast. You'll get that toasty caramel kind of flavor, and then other than, you know, the fermentation alcohol, the yeast actually produces flavors like peach, like banana. So those endless combinations, along with the combination of carbonation, kind of gives any beer for every occasion anything you need.
And you do get that. It's funny you say peach and banana, because when I think of peaches and bananas, they go well together, but they don't taste the same. But for some reason, that the finish feels the same. It's a weird play on the palate.
It is, and sometimes it's on the front end of the tongue, sometimes,
right,
on the back end of the tongue. You know, it really depends on how it was brewed and what it was brewed for.
So I have one of these in my house, because my wife will tell you that I have too many things in our house, but I like my glassware. What's the significance of the chalice? I mean, it does all kinds of things. My favorite thing, I know this is super lame, I don't have very big hands, but I can put my thumb, a nice little thumbprint there on the bottom of this. So tell us about the Stella Chalice. We've all seen them.
Yeah, so sophisticated beverages, you know, in my opinion, require
a different glass.
Curated glasses, you know, specific glasses for them. It was developed with a round top and round bottom. And this creates the perfect combo of carbonation and head retention. You know, the little foamy bit on the top that everybody hates when they get it. Well, it's super important with beer.
If you don't get it, you're not getting the right. If you pour a beer and you don't get a head on it, you don't want that.
Well, and you're not getting the nose.
Right,
which means you're not getting the correct amount of palate to it. And, you know, and then that reduction of carbonation from the bottle or draft when it releases, it releases aroma and captures it in the head. And it makes really just the ultimate drinking experience.
Yeah, no, and so, you know, here's the thing. It's still good out of the bottle, but I totally agree with you that in that chalice, and people laugh at me, but again, I think this is true for not just Stella. There are certain beers that require certain glasses, and you don't have to have them, but why short yourself the experience?
Sure, yeah, and I, you know, I get in arguments with friends all the time about how much head should really be in a beer, but...
So you know,
it always needs some.
You're one of the. That's my thought too, right? I mean, you know, I don't want 3/4 of my beverage to be head, but again, if there's none, I'm concerned.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I should be.
Yeah. If there's none, then you're missing the full experience of beer drinking.
Danny, tell me about the Water Changes Lives campaign.
All right, man. Water Changes Lives campaign is really, really cool. It's so you know the world is facing a huge global water crisis.
Yeah.
Like 1 in 10 people lack access to safe water, 1 in 3 lack a toilet. So Stella teamed up with water.org, and they donate a portion of their proceeds from the chalice sales on water.org. So they're limited edition chalices, 12 packs in the stores, and draft that you get at your bar to water.org. And there's so far we've affected over 6 million lives.
Awesome.
Yeah, in 14 countries, 500,000 chalices sold, about 800 million, or 8 million, I'm sorry, to the cost.
So and so when you buy the chalice, you help people that are disenfranchised when it comes to clean drinking water or running water get what they need.
Yeah, and on this website, on water.org, they have custom chalices made by artists from different countries that are absolutely
awesome.
Fantastic.
So you can get a little artsy with it, too, all while you're drinking your beer.
All collector's edition.
That is Danny Peterson. He's from Hensley Beverage. Been with Hensley for 2.5 years, but drinking for 25, you and me both, my friend. Danny, thanks for the time.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you.
On the Menu Live continues next here on 104.1 KQTH.
Hey guys, summer is in full swing, which means that I'm in my pool day and night. And with all the entertaining I do, I can't afford to have a pool that doesn't sparkle. And that's why I've put my trust in Ambiance Pool Service. Locally owned and operated, Ambiance will keep your pool operating efficiently and effectively all the time. But they're so much more than weekly cleaning service. Their licensed technicians are my go-to team for equipment installation and repairs as well. In fact, they just installed a cool LED lighting system for me that keeps my pool parties going deep into the night. Put an end to that constant battle over contaminants once and for all and call Ambiance Pool Service today. 425-9186. That's 425-9186. Or swim over to AmbiancePoolService.com to learn more. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the Wild Mushroom and Sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at AlfonsoOliveOil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
Zach Clark with you on 104.1 KQTH. It is On the Menu Live, filling in for Matt Russell off on a delicious vacation somewhere, and I've been graced with the presence of Chef Jonathan Landine from Jonathan's Cork and many other places. Chef, how are you?
Sir Jack, Zach, baby.
Great to have you with us. I'm here.
Good. You look good. You look like you're ready for food.
I am, and that's exactly why I'm here, and that's exactly why I'm talking to you. And, you know, I got to ask you, Jonathan, being a chef, and I know nothing about this, but it means that you're inherently competitive, right? I mean, you all compete against yourselves in the kitchen every day, right?
You do, and you have a tendency to be a bit of a perfectionist, even if you're not totally that way.
Right.
Because you want things to be right. You're always tuning, straightening, tightening, making making it not perfect, but making it delicious.
Right.
And approachable. You know, the greatest thing about things like this, culinary competitions, teaching young people some of the basics, but also how to think outside the box.
How important is that? Because you're going to have to, if you were in your own kitchen and you knew what you were going to make ahead of time, you would have a much better map in your head about how you're going to do this. But when it's like this, what do you do? I mean, just improvise? I mean, is that the...
Well, you know, these guys have the opportunity to practice because they know they're in the competition. Mm-hmm. So they can go into their kitchen and set a... 1 hour time clock, and they can do what they have to do, and you have to do that in a competition,
right?
Is you have to focus on the time, half it and half it again, and see what you need to get done, and then take an ingredient and have your manager walk in and hand it to you and go.
So is that the most important part, do you think, Chef, the time management?
Absolutely, because you know how to cook. All these guys have been cooking
that's how
for
they got
years,
here. Yeah,
and they're comfortable with it in their own kitchen. But now they're on a stage, which is not a problem, in a small space, which is not a problem,
right?
With crew that they know, excellent, and ingredients that they're comfortable with. And now, what's the biggest thing?
Right.
You
time.
Do not have an extra 2 minutes.
Right. No, because, I mean, in the kitchen, if you were in your own kitchen, you made a mistake, you wouldn't be happy. You'd be pressed for time, but you could still go back and redo it.
If I burn a fish and dinners are going out, I can turn around and get that fish done and out so that the diner doesn't know that I've made a mistake.
Correct.
You don't have that option here. Because if you make a mistake, and it's a crucial one, you cannot go back.
There's no safety net.
There's no way to go back. So you have to approach everything diligently, focused, but a tiny bit of caution.
Right. Well, I mean, what kind of caution, though? Because it would seem like in these competitions, those that use too much caution are punished. They want to see you expand and improve upon the ingredients.
Caution not in your thinking and what your presentation is. Caution not in being adventuresome in your in what you're presenting.
Okay.
Caution in that you don't get a little ahead of yourself on the stove.
Okay.
Make sure your pan temperature. You know, you want to be able just to feel the pan temperature so that when you put it in there, it's going to brown, not burn.
Right.
So because you're not in your own kitchen, and because you're not already in a flow. Also, the thing that happens in the restaurant is you're already in a flow.
Sure. So you're not stopping and starting.
You're in a flow.
Dinner service.
And you walk in and you get your stuff and you're set up in your mise en place, which is the French word for your setup. Mm-hmm. And your setup's the same every night. And then you got your special.
Right.
And then you say, okay, and the first order comes in, second order comes in. Everything's right where it always is. You're grabbing. Now, they have to write a menu in 5 minutes. And then they have to prepare all those items from scratch. And they get to bring a stock or two.
Right.
And they get to bring a machine, one piece of equipment. But what they don't have is they don't have any practice on exactly what they're making.
Correct.
Although, I will tell you that when I've done competitions, I've always practiced the basics.
Help me out. Like, what are basics to Jonathan Landine?
Well, possibly if I was going to make a dessert and I know I needed a tart shell, I would make sure that my tart dough was no-brainer.
Okay.
I'm going to do the flour, the butter, the sugar. I'm going to roll it out. I'm going to be comfortable with it. And I'm going to turn to one of my pastry chef or who I was helping, and I'm going to go, okay, do two tart shells. And she goes, great, I got that. And then, so that's off the plate. Now I've got to come up with a filling. But if I'm going to make a rice, am I going to make a pasta? Am I going to make... So all the things that are the peripheral items that are going to go on the dinner, I already have ideas about. I'm not cooking beans.
Right.
They take too long.
Right.
But I can cook a sweet rice, a short grain rice.
Sure.
So I know what I can do.
How much of that do you have in your... How much of the menu can you put in your head ahead of time? Half of it, all of it, some of it?
I would say three quarters of your menu is in your head. Now, the problem is it's, you talk to Chef Travis, and he gets a list, he gets a list of seven items that could be the secret ingredient. Mm-hmm. He wrote seven menus for each one of those items, and he's already in his head practiced them. And then he's put them in a concept that is comfortable in his kitchen.
Yeah, and to me, what's interesting about that is just the way you flow through that and the way you kind of have to have yourself set for that.
And the advantage is to Travis because Brian's first time.
Right.
And so the time management. If I walk up and I went up and asked him, I said, okay, what's your number one thing? Time management. Because if you have things that can wait and sit, you can get them done early. And if you can get them done early and out of your way,
you don't have to worry about it.
Well, but the other thing is, too, while you're doing your other stuff, maybe you come up with a really cool garnish or a really nice finish for that item because you find at the end you have extra 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But what you don't want to do is not have that dish finished. You want to spend that any extra time you have is the
fine-tuning.
Fluff.
Yeah, fluff, got it.
It's the bouquet.
Got it.
So you're on the date. You already made the proposition. You're in good shape. You're having dinner. And you go home and you hand her that rose on the way out the door. It's the finish.
Got it. Chef Jonathan Landine from Jonathan's Cork. He is in charge of the festivities tonight along with our friend Mrs. G. Jonathan, thank you so much, Chef.
Zach, I'm so happy to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you.
I'm going to send that big, big number uno chef over here to see you, okay?
We're going to talk to him next on the menu live on 104.1 KQTH.
Bye.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and you've heard me talk about Tino's Pizza for quite a while. Not only for their consistency and quality ingredients, but simply for the way they've done business here for nearly 35 years. You see, their family business is built on relationships. It's about a great staff with a style of service that keeps the customer at the center of everything they do, while serving up pizzas, calzones, wings, salads, wines, and craft beers, all in a setting that captures the essence of those neighborhood pizza places that we all remember growing up. So whether it's meeting friends and family there for a casual lunch or dinner, swinging by for some food and growlers to go, getting it delivered directly to your door, or having them cater your next special event, just ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tanqueverty Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town, or check them out online at tinospizza.com.
We are live at Casino del Sol Resort. It is Iron Chef Tucson 2018. I'm Zach Clark sitting in for the one, the only, Matt Russell. I want to thank Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, and of course, Jerry's Cigars. You're going to find your next stogie. Make sure it is at Jerry's. Now, we're talking competition. We're at Casino del Sol Resort. There's really only one other person that we can talk to. Three-time Iron Chef winner, executive chef here at the casino, Ryan Clark. Chef, how are you?
What's going on, Zach? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, thanks for coming out. And we were talking to Chef Landine earlier. You've won this competition three times. You did it in a row. Can you name something that you can think of that helped you repeat? Like, what was it that made you comfortable going in one, two, three times? Because, I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
You know, it's funny. It's, you know, you have that advantage. You know, you go in and you know where everything is. You know how the kitchen's built. You kind of know how to work with the ingredients. You don't know the secret ingredient, of course, but you know that there's going to be a pantry there. So I think Travis going into this definitely has a little bit of advantage.
How much of an advantage? Like when you did it the second and third times, how different was it than the first time?
I think you become more comfortable. You don't have the same nerves. Mm-hmm. You know, you go into it, and you also know that the chef that's coming in there, you know, it's not his home course anymore.
Right.
It's his first time at this. So, you know, you definitely feel confident. And I think that's probably how it's playing out right now.
So when you're going into this, how important is the team that you select? How important are the people that you bring with you?
That's everything. You know, doing Iron Chef, I've had pretty much the same team all 3 years. Mm-hmm. We had one guy that moved away to Florida. But it's so important. You know, you want to bring your A game. You want to bring the best people you have. But let's be honest, you know, we're a Tucson community. You got to run your restaurant, right? It's a Saturday night here.
Right.
So the restaurant's busy, so you can't take everybody with you. So you got to be strategic about it. You want to make sure you have the best people possible. And you got to rely on them. You know, you've got 1 hour, a ton of stuff to cook, a ton of components. So you really have to, you know, put things on their shoulders too to help you carry through.
I'm talking with Chef Ryan Clark. I come from the sports world, Chef, and, you know, when teams get together, they practice, and they practice a lot. Now, I know everybody's really busy, and this is kind of like somewhat of an all-star team. We're not all normally on the same team. But how much practice time do you get, or do you want, or do you need?
Zach, honestly, we practice every day. So when we're in the kitchen, right?
So you're already practicing.
And we're working,
Got it.
We're figuring out how we move in the kitchen, how we communicate, how we talk. I guarantee you that the chefs up there, it's no different.
Got it.
They know exactly what they're doing, and they know how they work together, and they know exactly how it's going on. So
how much of this, you mentioned not having the home course or the home kitchen advantage. How different is it being in a kitchen that's not yours?
Oh, it's shocking.
Is it weird?
I've cooked all over the world. I work in kitchens for special events in different states for all kinds of things. And every time you walk in, it's completely different. So I think these chefs have done it too. I know Travis and Brian both have traveled for UNESCO, and they've been to different countries cooking in different kitchens. So it's probably no different than them, but it's never comfortable walking into a kitchen you don't know.
You mentioned the Iron Chef, Peters versus Smith. Tell me about these two guys.
Well, you know, I've known Brian for a long time since he's been at Acacia. One of his chefs was one of my mentors growing up. You know, he's an absolute phenomenal chef, one of the up-and-coming chefs here in Tucson, running a great program at Maynard's. And Travis Peters is like the poster boy of Tucson. His Rock On Tucson anthem it yells loud throughout the community. He's been on so many great shows and won competitions. He's really the competition king right now and the guy to beat.
How does that help? Not that long ago, he was on Guy's Grocery Games, won $20,000. Like, forget, I mean, the money helps, you know that, but just how does that experience help? I mean, this is a big stage. That's a bigger one.
I think being in the spotlight and being in the fame and being able to handle that and control it is huge. And so when you come up here, I think he's got a good advantage in that, in the way that, you know, Brian maybe hasn't been in that same spotlight, you know.
Sure.
And so it's going to challenge him a little bit more. I think that Travis has a little bit of advantage there.
What's it like? I mean, we're here in Tucson right now, and it's Tucson Chef against Tucson Chef. But, you know, over the last few years, there's been a lot of Tucson guys on competitive cooking shows. What's it like for them to carry the flag for what's going on down here?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, putting Tucson on the map, you know, whether it's on Food Network or it's through UNESCO or it's just through traveling and doing, you know, different events, it's huge. And Tucson's such a great community. I think it's really underrated. I think that we have some amazing small mom-and-pop, you know, community-style restaurants that have amazing food and beverage and hospitality and service to offer to our guests. And the more that we get out there and we showcase that, the more people come here and really get to enjoy it.
I'm with you, Chef, as far as it being underrated. And you mentioned the mom-and-pop, and one of the things I love about Tucson is there are some nights when you want to go to dinner with a jacket and a tie, but there are some nights when you want something out of a food truck walking down the street, but that doesn't mean that either experience has to be less pleasant. And I feel like you get that here.
Exactly. I'm a big component of value in Tucson. So whether I'm having a taco at a food truck or I'm having a nice steak dinner at PY Steakhouse at the casino, I look at the value there and I think, you know, hey, I'm paying a lot for this, but look what I'm getting. Or, hey, this is a great value for an amazing taco. And the diversity that Tucson has to offer in that is huge because, you know, you can go anywhere basically and get what you want. Like you said, it's casual. So even if you're going to a steakhouse, I can still show up in sandals and we welcome you, you know.
Which is great because it's 110 degrees outside. I don't want to put a jacket on. You mentioned PY Steakhouse. You're the man in charge of food here at the casino. How do you set up, how do you approach the way you guys service your food here? You talk about being local and those kind of things, but how do you see it?
Yeah, well, we have a great program that we've built over the past couple of years at PY Steakhouse. We feature over 30 local purveyors, all of our beef sourced here from Arizona. And we just introduced that to all of our restaurants throughout the casino property, working with Pivot Produce and bringing local seasonal produce into all the different outlets.
And they had, the folks at Pivot Produce had the peaches. They were today.
They did. It's amazing, right?
That was just, it was amazing. And when you think about that kind of stuff in Arizona, I don't think of peaches. That's not what comes to me first.
You know, it's funny. We have so many things that people just don't understand, you know, like ginger and bok choy growing here in the desert.
Wine.
Right? Wine.
I think wine's the
biggest
one.
Phenomenal wine.
People are shocked when you say, go to Sonoyta and drink wine, and they say, why would I do that? Well, you go down there and check it out. What are you looking for tonight? You're going to be one of the judges. Chef, what are you looking for out of the two guys and their team?
You know, honestly, I want to see... obviously, good food presentation, right? That's a no-brainer. But I want to see how you use the secret ingredient tonight. None of us know it, so they're going to announce that pretty soon. But are you going to use it one time in your dish, or are you going to showcase two or three different techniques in each dish that you prepare? I think that's the key.
Well, and what's the thought process behind that? Because I watch, and I'm not you. I can't cook with a lick. But I've watched a lot of shows like this, both in person and on television. And I think you want to use the ingredient as much as possible, but if you're going to use it and it doesn't work, it's not worth it. You don't want to force the ingredient into a dish. How do you balance that?
Well, I mean, it's hard. It's difficult because you have to look at your pantry of ingredients, your mm-hmm. proteins that you have. But, you know, I think as a chef, it just comes naturally. For instance, if there's a fish up there and that secret ingredient is peaches, I want to use the peaches as many ways as possible. Maybe a sauce, maybe a relish on top, and then maybe I use some of the peaches when I'm basting the fish with butter. So I'm using that peach three different ways, and that's only one dish. So that's an example of kind of what I'm looking for.
Right, and to just see if they can round it all out. And these two guys are going to go head-to-head tonight, but one of the things I know that, first of all, you can vouch for this. Anytime anybody's in the kitchen, you guys are competitive, right? I mean, this is every day you challenge yourself, right? Every day, like you said, you're practicing every day. But how would you describe the relationship between chefs in this town? I mean, the food service industry is incredibly difficult. It's incredibly cutthroat. But I think because it is that way, you all have an appreciation for just how hard some of this stuff is to do.
Well, I think we all challenge each other every day with the food that we put out. You know, you see trends bounce around in Tucson a lot, and the chefs play off of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the chefs get together within the community, whether it's special events, programs, or just, you know, going out and having a beer and catching up. And that's where we really, you know, brainstorm and come together and kind of push each other to evolve the Tucson food scene.
And how do you guys wrap that in? How do you wrap that in? I'm going to let you go here because I know you got to go do some judging, but how do you wrap that in with the booze? How do you guys, because the booze scene right here is really strong too. How do you marry those?
The booze scene's insane. I mean, the craft beer programs that we have, the new distilleries popping up, and then the staples that we have, like Hamilton Distilleries and Dragoon and 1055 and Barrio. And I mean, we just have so many great things. And I think working and reaching out to those individual people, putting together dinners and being collaborative and coming up with new ideas that can really push the envelope and develop even further, I think that's the key. And it's building those relationships with the chefs and everybody else that really makes Tucson unique in what it is.
I love knowing from where my food comes and the people that make it. Chef Ryan Clark, he is in charge here. Casino Del Sol, one of the judges tonight. Chef, go out there, have some fun.
Zach, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
It is our pleasure as Chef gets on his way. Great to talk to Ryan Clark, and it is amazing to see what the food scene here, how it does evolve, how it has changed. Right, and that's one of the things when you talk to Ryan Clark, whom is young, he is established, right? And then you look at a guy like Jonathan Cork, or Jonathan Landine from Jonathan's Cork, and they represent different generations of chefs in Tucson, but there's this, I don't know if it's symbiotic, but there is a connection that they feel with one another and that they should feel with one another, right? And look, everybody's out to have their restaurant be the best, have their restaurant be on top, right? That's what everybody wants, right? Even if you are a plumber or you host a radio show like I do, you want to be the best at it. And that competitive spirit, it just boils inside, but it isn't an affront to each other, right? They're able to embrace to embrace what makes them bring the best out of each other. And I'm so glad that Chef Ryan from Casino Del Sol Resort, that he said what he did about just the way that the beverage scene plays with the food scene and the way that they complement each other and the way that you can build off of that. It's like climbing a ladder. It is, to me, unbelievable. Before I go any further, I want to thank, look, when you do a show like this, you've got to have a certified personal trainer. Nancy Russell is ours. She is the best. Also, thank you to Russell Public Communications, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, and Ambiance Pool Service. Now they just hooked up Matt's pool. Now he's partying outside all night long. In fact, shoot, that's probably where he is right now. And so to have an event like this where, you know, we spent the last 5 hours and change sampling and drinking and chatting. See, because events like this, it's not just about the food that you eat. That's really important. That's really important. But to me, it's the connection that you can make with the people that are serving your food. You can learn about the people that make your food. My food always tastes better when I know more about the person that made it. Maybe that makes me weird, but I don't think so. The more you know, right, the stories behind the food that you eat can be as intricate as any novel that you've ever read. I mean, I was walking around earlier. I had Stella braised pork belly with a peach aguadulce, radishes, bib lettuce. I had a grilled peach Arnold Palmer. It was amazing, right? Anything is possible in the world of food in Tucson, Arizona. And that is why we're so glad to be here. That's why events like this are just so much fun. And they're setting the stage right now again. We're inside of Kitchen Stadium at Casino del Sol Resort, 2018 Iron Chef. Just a few minutes away. In fact, I think we're about to find out what the secret ingredient is. It's going to be Travis Peters against Brian Smith. Travis Peters from the Parish. He is the defending champion. Brian Smith from Maynard's. Excellent, excellent representations of the Tucson food scene from both of these guys. And I'm excited to see what the teams that they've assembled, what they're able to do, how they're able to handle this, how they attack the menu. I mean, a big thing here tonight is going to be, what is the secret ingredient going to be? And what's the focus? But again, what I want to point out more than anything else, when we're sitting here celebrating Tucson food and beverage, that what we have here is so rich and bountiful. And I think even the average Tucsonan at times doesn't appreciate just how sophisticated and wide-ranging the food and beverage scene is here in Tucson, Arizona. I mean, per capita, I'd put it up with anybody. And it's all about diversity. And part of that culture, that community that we have here, is such a wide range of people. Part of that's because of the university. Part of that's because where we are in the country, where there are a lot of people that are from Mexico, and there are Native Americans, and there are, I mean, and so all that food gets combined together, and you end up with just the most wonderful dishes and the most thoughtful restaurants. And again, the food that is made with ingredients that come from here, they taste like nowhere else. You can't get food like that anywhere else. It doesn't work that way. And that, to me, is what is so exciting about all of this. That is why this is so much fun. Where else are you going to find peach and Delbach milkshakes? I had one of those earlier. It was amazing. Competition, celebration, it is all about food and fun. And that is why we are here tonight at the Iron Chef Tucson at Casino del Sol Resort. How will the chefs interpret the menu? How will the judges interpret what the chefs have thrown down? I think this is going to be great. I am just so excited to see how the action unfolds tonight. And like, I want to thank everybody that was able to come down here and sample food and hang out and just a wonderful evening here at hand. And I couldn't be happier to, I mean, look, this is Matt's platform, and I love filling in for him. I so appreciate how important food is to this community. And it's not just because, well, we like to go out to eat a lot, but how food defines the culture, how food acts as an identifier of who we are. When people ask me about Tucson, one of the first things that I'm going to do, I'm going to point you to the restaurants. I'm going to point you to the distillers. I'm going to point you to the breweries. They will help explain. And then after we eat and drink, I'll take you and show you art and architecture and music We can wander around downtown, right? But I'm always going to start by showing you the food, by celebrating the food that we so enjoy on a daily basis here in Tucson. And it is amazing to be able to sit here at an event like this and recognize and acknowledge all those that have done excellent work and that do excellent work in our community day in and day out. That's one of the reasons I love this radio program so much, because Matt is always out there highlighting the very best. And today is not the epitome necessarily, but we see some of the best chefs in our area go head-to-head, secret ingredient, kitchen stadium, all the pressure. And again, all this does is remind you just how wonderful the food scene here is in Tucson. Now, you know this. You listen to the program on a regular basis. There's always a trivia question. Mine has to be food slash sports related. I wouldn't be me if it wasn't. So this week's trivia question is, which former Arizona Wildcat football standout has played, who played in five Super Bowls, has appeared on the Food Network? Again, which former Arizona Wildcat football standout has appeared on the Food Network? And here's your hint. He played in five Super Bowls. One more time. Which former Arizona Wildcat football standout has appeared on the Food Network? Here's your hint. He played in five Super Bowls. All right, we'll round it out next here on 104.1 KQTH.
Hey, friends. You've already made On the Menu Live your weekend's destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Red Snapper with rice noodle puffs and tomato sauce. Chicharrones with jicama slaw, Thai chili, mint, and basil. Bison meatloaf with kiwi, melon, and mulberry. These are the kinds of specials that rotate regularly at Boca Tacos and Tequila. And you thought Boca was only about tacos? Think again! Fresh off her appearance on the Food Network's hit TV program Chopped, Tucson chef Maria Maison continues to blow our minds back home at Boca with daily specials that showcase the personal expression of her unique Sonoran story. With bold flavors, fresh ingredients, and the kind of kitchen creativity that made her a national media star. I've always loved Boca for gourmet tacos and premium tequilas, and now there's even more to love with their daily lineup of entree specials. Now, where was I? Hot noodle soup with a guajillo chili puree. Pan-seared salmon.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at BocaTacos.com.
Zach Clark, and you're listening to On the Menu Live, 104.1 KQTH. In case you missed it, which former Arizona Wildcat football standout has appeared on the Food Network? Here's your hint. He played in five Super Bowls. If you know the answer to the question, onthemenulive@gmail.com. onthemenulive@gmail.com. Which former Arizona Wildcat football standout has appeared on the Food Network? And your hint is he played in five Super Bowls. Just a few minutes away from the Iron Chef Tucson, and I mean, when I think about people that are chefs, right, those that do what we're here celebrating, being a chef to me is basically like being a competitive food artist. Food competitions, while they may not seem as such, look, because I come from the sports world, right? I host a sports talk radio show Monday through Friday. And what we're about to see here tonight is as natural as any football or any baseball game that you've ever seen. The element of surprise, right, in the secret ingredient, that is a big part of the fun here, right? That's the element, that's the twist. Because we know that both chefs here, both Travis and both Brian, both chefs have an amazing control over what they do. So you've got to make it a little bit harder on them, and throwing in the twist that is the secret ingredient is exactly what you want to see. Well, I mean, of course, you get the secret ingredient plus a pair of super amazing, talented chefs. How could you go wrong, right? I can't wait to see what they do, how they do it, and how they're able to interact with their team members, how they work together, and how they work competitively. You know, I think about cooking competitions, and to me, cooking competitions are like, they're like diamonds, right? The winners are forged out of pressure. Lots of folks can make you food. I can make you food. I cannot be a chef I cannot create. Right? I can make food, but I'm not an artist. Like diamonds, the winners of cooking competitions are forged out of pressure. Right? It's not about making the food. Can they do it with the lights on and the clock ticking? Can they do it when they don't know what they're going to be handed ahead of time? That's what I want to know. And if you look at the two guys, Travis Peters comes in with certainly an advantage in that he is the reigning champ. He has been on this stage before, though last year not in this building, but he has been on this stage before. He has moved himself and his team to victory before. And after talking to both Jonathan Landine, Chef Jonathan Landine, and Chef Ryan Clark, it really does seem that the experience is going to factor in here. Now, that doesn't mean that Travis is going to win, but certainly it does mean that Travis has a little bit of an advantage. And for Travis Peters, you know, it's not just about winning last year. I mean, earlier this year he won, what, 20 grand on guys' grocery games? And again, it's not about the money, which, of course, the money is great. But what you really want out of this is just that raw experience. And he's had it on this stage and on many others. And I think that serves him very well. But I mean, look, that's not to say that Brian Smith doesn't have a shot here. Not even close, right? I think this is going to be a very close, well thought out battle between these two gentlemen. I mean, I love what Brian Smith has done at Maynard's. I love the thought that goes into that menu. I love the path that he has taken to get where he is now. And when you look at things like tonight, both of these chefs, it's about attention to detail. It's about presentation. And for the most part, the food's always going to taste good. These guys are geniuses. But how do they put it together? How do they assemble it? How does it complement each other? And how do they do it in the span of 1 hour? And, you know, what I love about Brian Smith, he's been around this at such an early age, right? And despite being a young guy, he's still a savvy veteran of the game. The best part of this, though, and you've probably noticed a theme. And the theme is that the food scene in Tucson, Arizona is amazing. It's underrated. It's underappreciated. Not locally. You and I understand how important it is. You and I understand how delicious, how amazing the experiences are. You can hear the announcements taking place in the background. These two guys, local to the bone, I couldn't think of two better dudes to throw down in front of us today. I expect both of these guys to come out and in a chef's way throw furious hands and come up with two sets of truly incredible dishes with whatever they're given. And again, they have somewhat of a primer, right? They were given seven options and it's going to be one of those seven things. But just to see how these guys turn through this menu in their head to see how it progresses to me is very interesting. So this to me is a celebration of Tucson food, Tucson culture, and really at the end of the day, a celebration of the place that we live and the place that we love, Southern Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, right? This is it. I'm giving the edge to Danny Peters only because of the experience on the competition stage. That's it. But I hope everybody gets out there and has fun. Right? I've had a blast today. I always appreciate when my dear friend Matt Russell asked me to come on here and do it for him. And I just too much fun. I want to thank the folks at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry's Cigars. Got to have a personal trainer, man. This business is difficult. Nancy Russell is our certified personal trainer. Russell Public Communications, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, Ambiance Pool Service. I know they just hooked up Matt's pool. We could not do the show without these people, and so we are eternally thankful for those that support this program. It's great talking to Chef Ryan Clark, Chef Jonathan Landine. It's been great talking about food today with you. It's been amazing sharing the celebration. And that's the beauty of food, right? That's the joy in all of this, is that food is made to share and enjoy together. That's why events like this are so much fun. And that's why, in general, the food scene in Tucson is as much fun as it could be, which also means that it is as delicious as it could be. If you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show will be uploaded to our website shortly on themenulive.com. In the meantime, I'm Zach Clark reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is On the Menu Live. Have fun, ladies and gentlemen.